feeling's here that only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
I hope that's the story for you and your loved ones, having a wonderful Christmas time. Good morning on this Wednesday, Christmas Eve. Brent Laux filling in on the Evan Bray Show. Evan with the flu and back with us all fired up and ready to go in 2026. Merry Christmas to Evan and his family. So are you a fan of the Hallmark movies? Holy smokes. I can't say. I think maybe I've watched one or two in my lifetime. They have made over 300 of these movies, most of them with that Christmas theme. 41 new Hallmark movies have been produced for this holiday season. 41. And one of those involves a Saskatoon-born actor, Hallmark Christmas shows actor and producer, Stephen Huszar. And he sat down with Evan Bray to talk about Melt My Heart This Christmas. That's the movie that he's in with Hallmark.
Well, Stephen, thank you so much for giving us some time today.
I appreciate. I'm very appreciative of that, Evan. Thanks for having me on your show.
So I think about, you know, when we think about Hollywood, we think about actors, and I've connected with you in good old Saskatoon today, have I not?
You certainly have. Yeah, I managed to come to the deep freeze just in time. My bag didn't arrive, of course, but I'm here enjoying the very deep minus temperatures.
That's good. So what have you still got family, family in the province then?
I do, yes. My mother and sister live here, and I try to make it back as often as I can, but certainly during the holidays, I want to come home and have some nice Saskatoon berry pie with everybody.
Well, that's good. Well, we're very proud of all of our homegrown stars, you being one of them. You've got a great career going. Did you have a real interest in acting at an early age, Steve?
Well, yeah, it's funny. A few people asked me that question, and I actually, now that I think about it, and the question is posed to me, I did. When I was in grade two, I think my first recollection of that was when I played Old MacDonald Had a Farm in Brunskill School in Saskatoon. And I just remember being up there and going, this is kind of fun. You know, I'm making people laugh. I'm playing a character, obviously, that's a lot older than me in real life. But it's there's something to this, you know. And I think that was my first experience of really getting the bug for storytelling.
I love it.
Connecting people that way.
I love it. So do you feel like you gained anything growing up in Saskatchewan, in Saskatoon, that helps you from a perspective standpoint in the work that you do now?
You know, I think humility, I mean, there's a lot of benefits, I think, to grow up in Saskatchewan. One is that, you know, just being really grateful for what we have. You know, I don't think Saskatchewan is seen as, oh, you know, this big place where there's a huge amount of opportunities. So I think just the work ethic that I created being here. My parents are actually immigrants. They came over from Hungary way, way back when. And I, you know, I witnessed them working really hard to build what they have. And I think I just, you know, just really adopted that kind of mentality and just knowing that they came from really nothing and no language and no money and created something. Well, I think the world is our oyster that way. And I was taught that, you know, we can actually achieve what we want to if we really put our heads down to it, you know. So I think that a lot of that influenced why I just really want to reach higher and higher, you know, in my career and my goals.
Stephen Huszar is my guest, actor, producer from Saskatoon originally. And I mentioned off air, I said we've had numerous actors from our province. I feel like we're rich with talent. Kim Coates has been on our program before, and I think you've worked with him.
I have, yeah, a few times, actually. Kim's great. And honestly, he was one of the first known actors that I worked with. Gosh, back in a movie called Caught in the Headlights. And if my memory serves me correct, I think that was in 2004. And he really took me under his wing. He said, you know, he sort of told me, gave me the ropes a little bit of how it works and, you know, and actually helped me out with some scenes. I was really green back then. And I really owe it to Kim to to really have patience with me, so to speak, in that movie. And since then, we've worked a couple times together, mm-hmm. so it's been great.
You've had great roles, Smallville, The Flash, The Jane Mysteries, and of course been on Netflix and Lifetime and Hallmark. Do you have any experiences that stand out for you, Stephen?
Every production I'm on is unique in its own way, and I'm just so grateful to be telling stories. For me, I'm just the happiest guy on set, to be honest. I do enjoy being in a character in a role that sort of aligned with me and my likes and wants. And one of the movies I did that stands out the most, that we actually shot in Fernie, BC, and we had the entire ski mountain to ourselves a month before it opened. We shot a ski movie, and that was called Love and Glacier National Park. It was actually a Hallmark movie, but we got to do our own skiing. We all stayed in the lodge together. We went up on the tracks, together and skied and basically shot and skied all day. So that was kind of like, I would say, a real great paid vacation.
So, I mean, I know you've got a new Christmas movie. It's called Melt My Heart This Christmas. Can you talk about what this is about?
Sure, yeah. my co-star is the wonderful Laura Vandervoort, who played Supergirl in Smallville. So a lot of you would recognize her from that. She's the one of the toughest girls I know, and I understand why she was cast as Superman now, because literally we were shooting in minus 30 temperatures out there in Ottawa and earlier this year. It was insane, and she was in heels and dresses. At least I got to dress up a little bit warmer. But super fun story. She's this incredibly talented glass blower, and I own a Christmas market, and there's this little bit of a tension of her coming in because she kind of slipped her way in there. But, we, as a lot of Hallmark movies are, we sort of overcome those tensions, and a little spark flies between us. So it was lots of fun. Yeah, I shot that in Ottawa earlier this year.
That's great. Do you have, I often wonder, people like yourself that are in the industry, do you have things that you like to watch? Do you have whether it's a series, do you binge watch anything?
Yeah, I'm really into the Taylor Sheridan stuff right now. The whole Yellowstone universe. We're now into the prequel, we watched Yellowstone 1923, and now we're in the 1864 mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. And a lot of my friends are working with him as well, and it's just wonderful to see that that kind of power the creativity that someone can create in this ongoing universe. So for me, I'm just really enjoying television at the moment. I love my features, of course. I love going to theater still. Please support our movies in the theater. I don't want to see that dying, anytime soon. So, it's always nice just to get some popcorn and go to theater and get a ticket as well.
The industry seems healthy right now, though, with everything. I mean, you've got streaming services, you've got still theater, TV-based movies. I mean, it feels very good right now.
It does, yeah. No, it's great. I'm glad you have that optimistic outlook. I mean, there has been a slowdown in terms of volume in the last few years, but it is starting to pick up. I think there's optimism in the air. There's a lot of huge studios being built as we speak. Canada has been extremely busy thanks to the exchange rate, as well as a lot of incentives we have. And we just have a great cast and crew universe up here too, that people love just to work with us. So I think it looks pretty positive moving forward. So I'm happy to be in the sort of storytelling world. That's for sure.
Stephen Husar is my guest. Are you you've been in the business now over 20 years, but I feel like you're as strong as ever. Do you have other projects on the go? I know it's often tough to talk about them, but can you give us any idea what's in the future?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I literally was just shooting in Philadelphia, this really cool project that's going to be a little bit talk about a story, the American independence that happened in 1776. So it's the 250-year anniversary of that. Kind of a little bit of a love story about a soldier on one side of the war and then a nurse on the other, told through our point of view. And I'm a historian, sort of uncovering this love story. So it's kind of fun. Yeah, I was first time shooting in Philadelphia and really understanding and learning a lot more about the American history. So I'm excited about that. That's it's going to come out sometime in the spring or summer next year.
That's good. And before I let you go, you've been doing some producing as well. Do you like that as well as acting?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if I really, really believe in a project, I'll put my sort of business cap on. I actually went to the University of Saskatchewan for business. I was a finance major and actually worked in corporate America for a few years before I decided to change my career focus. So I do sort of put my business hat on and raise the money and finance and try to pull projects together if I really believe in it. And yes, I do have a few projects coming up that I will be producing. My partner, Katie Cassidy, as well. She's producing and directing some of those as well. So we've got some on the horizon that are ours as well. So
that's awesome. Well, Stephen, it's been a great honor to have you on the show. Thanks for making time for us.
Thank you.
Glad you got a visit with family in Saskatoon and all the best through the holidays.
Thank you as well, Evan. Merry Christmas. Thanks.
Interesting fellow, Stephen Hussar, actor, producer from Saskatoon, in town to be with family for Christmas. You can see his new Hallmark Christmas movie called Melt My Heart this Christmas. One of the, nearly 400 Hallmark movies that are out there. Good morning. This is the Evan Bray Show. Brent Laux filling in this week for Evan on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Hear those sleigh bells jingle, jangle. Oh, what a beautiful sight. So jump in bed and cover your head, cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
I don't know about you, but when I hear these classic old Christmas songs, it just triggers memories. And I was thinking about the NORAD reports, and I think most of us are aware of the NORAD story and what a wonderful coincidence how it all played out, where a Sears store in Denver put an ad in the newspaper 70 years ago at Christmas time, and they had a phone number attached to it where people could call to talk to Santa Claus, set up by Sears. However, it was the wrong phone number, and the call was taken by a military person with NORAD in Colorado Springs. And they played along with the youngster and youngsters that then did call. And so that spun into what became this wonderful tradition every Christmas, NORAD tracking Santa's flight. And of course, nowadays with technology and satellites and computers, it is just amazing how you're able to track Santa Claus. You can still call the numbers to get updated reports, but you find all the information when you go online, go to their website. You can see where Santa Claus is at right now. I just posted that link up on the Brent Laux show page, but it's NORAD. Yeah, NORAD Santa. If you Google NORAD Santa, it'll get you there. But as I was saying, so much of this older Christmas music, the classics that have been around for so many years, triggers memories. And I have this beautiful memory of my late sister and I probably would have been about, 8 or 9, and she would have been about 13 or so, and sitting there in our darkened living room on the floor, the Christmas tree all lit up, and the presents under the tree on Christmas Eve, and looking out the frosty window, because we only had single pane windows, and looking for a sign in the sky. This doesn't go back to 1955, but it's not far off. The year is 1970. So you go back 55 years, and this was what you would hear on your radio. No computers in those days. The only way you got the NORAD reports was to have your transistor radio, maybe with your earplug, and listening to your local radio station with the NORAD reports.
Earlier today, radar operators of the Aerospace Defense Command and Canadian Forces were placed on special alert to watch for and track an airborne object, believe heading for the North American continent. We've just received a report that an unknown object has been sighted by one of our stations on the Dew Line. Let's switch to Sergeant Dan Barker, 22nd NORAD Region, North Bay, Ontario, for the latest details.
The object first appeared on our radar screens coming from the direction of the North Pole and is headed south toward Canada and the United States. Our computer readout now indicates 9 objects rather than 1. There's a large sled-like vehicle or command craft preceded by 8 smaller devices, which could be some sort of propulsion system. One thing for sure, the radar image is unlike any flying object presently known to science.
A report from NORAD's 22nd region at North Bay, Ontario. We'll keep watching the unknown and have more information within the hour.
This is Air Force Sergeant Lee Mosley of the North American Air Defense Command in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
And what a classic announcer's voice he has, huh? That's from 1970, NORAD reports, but the gist of it is still there. Of course, as I say, with all the technology now, you just go online, find that NORAD Santa website, and you can get updated information as to how Santa's doing with his big flight around the world. 26 after the hour. Brent Laux, I'm with you here up until noon today, filling in this week on the Evan Bray Show. And then after 12 noon, we kick into our special Christmas Eve programming for you to enjoy through the rest of the day, tomorrow, and Boxing Day as well. If you're heading out on the roads, I noticed in Saskatoon this morning, gas prices bumped up a little bit. Still not bad. But what I really have noticed over the past couple of weeks, you really should pay attention to the gas price, because there seems to be quite a variety at times, and I know you see it in Regina as well. There are some lower price places that you can go to, but then you see them up in the 120, 125 range. I know Saskatoon, a lot of the gas prices had been around the $1.13 a liter mark, but today I noticed them starting to come up a little bit, which, you know, normally happens when you get into a busier travel time of the year, sitting around the $1.20 liter mark. Prime Minister Carney, I don't know if you caught this. I don't recall a prime minister in recent years putting out a Christmas message to the military. You know, part of me thinks, is this good? I think it's good. It's positive. Here's what our prime minister had to say.
For most of us, the holiday season is a time to rest, to reflect, and to reconnect with the people that we love the most. But thousands of you are serving in the Canadian Armed Forces. And for you, this time of year is different. You're spending this holiday away from home, standing on guard to protect our sovereignty, our freedoms, and those of our allies. This season reminds us that there can be hope amid despair, that light follows darkness. For so many people around the world in crisis, you have been that light. You've risked your lives to save others. You are the reason the maple leaf remains a symbol of hope and help around the world. Our sovereignty and our security are not guaranteed. They're defended by you every single day. And in a more dangerous and divided world, we are ever more grateful for your service, your sacrifice. So on behalf of all Canadians, thank you. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Prime Minister Mark Carney with his Christmas message to the Canadian military. One of our listeners, Cindy, takes exception to his message. She says, after 10 years of improperly funding our military and those who serve our country, a public thank you at Christmas time from the Prime Minister, whose party has made a myriad of decisions that created our country's military crisis, is insensitive, especially given that so many of our veterans are now suffering financially. This is Cindy, our listener, in at 1-877-332-8255. She goes on to say, choosing foreign aid opportunities before ensuring the well-being of those who keep us free is not a badge of honor, is it? Thank you for the comment, Cindy. Anything on your mind, folks? I'm here till noon. Maybe you got a Christmas greeting, got a gift idea, last-minute gift suggestion? Love to hear from you. 1-877-332-TALK. 1-877-332-8255. Brent Laux with the Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Run, run, Rudolph, cause I'm reeling like a merry-go-round.
Christmas Eve, Wednesday morning. Brent Laux filling in. On the Evan Bray Show, here till noon today. Anything on your mind? You got to send out a Christmas greeting? Love to hear from you. 1-877-332-TALK. You can text or you can call to talk at 1-877-332-8255. We've got Rob hanging on the line down in Estevan. Morning, Rob.
Morning.
How's things down south?
Still a little chilly, but not as chilly, I think, as a little bit further north anyway.
Yeah, you got much snow down in Estevan?
Oh, we got plenty.
Good to hear. So what gets you calling us here today?
Well, your NORAD story just brought back some fond memories for me and during my days of the being in the military and serving on the radar sites and the operations centers.
So you worked on one of the sites for the Dew Line?
Well, we were on the Pine Tree Line.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Which is further south.
Yeah.
The radar sites that I served at were in Falconbridge, Ontario, Lowther, Ontario, Alsace, Saskatchewan, and that's what brought me out west.
Oh, for gosh sakes.
And then Beaver Lodge, Alberta.
Yeah.
Were the sites that I had served on.
You know, it's interesting driving by Alsace nowadays. You know, part of the structure of the radar dome and that's still there, and you can see some of the remnants of, the barracks and such. So each of these installations must have been a pretty significant thing.
It was. Alsace was had to be, in my mind, my favorite out of all the other sites that I had served at. That radar tower is the only surviving tower that was the search where they housed the search radar, and out of the, I believe it was 54 radar sites, that's the only surviving structure.
Yeah.
Of the radar towers right across the Mid-Canada line and Pine Tree line.
Yeah, the Pine Tree, like you said, was a little further south. I know the Dew Line was more in the Arctic, stretching from Alaska through northern Canada and on over to Greenland, I do believe, and all of it was radar stations. And these were manned. There was people in every single one of them, wasn't there?
Absolutely. When I was stationed at 22nd at NORAD region in North Bay in the early 80s, I had the distinct great opportunity to go on what they used to call Operation Box Top. Or no, pardon me, Box Top was up at alert. But they did a resupply and up to the Dew Line, and I'd been able to visit the three of the main Dew Line sites.
It must have been something for them to provide supplies for those remote radar stations, which were manned. So were they able to fly into each of them, or how did they transport materials in?
Well, the as far as I understand, main sites had did have runways.
Yeah.
We were supposed to go in by Hercules, but that was the first time that the Pope had visited Canada, and all the Hercules aircraft were tied up with the UN missions that they were flying, but as well as in through Canada here, it was the moving supplies and or vehicles.
Sure.
For the Pope's visit.
Oh, for goodness'
sake! One end of the country to the other.
So
we went by Buffalo, and it was a lot slower and a lot longer flight.
Yeah. How long were you in the Canadian military, Rob?
I was in the Reg Force for 20 years, and Reserve Force for another 11 years.
Wow. Well, good for you. Thank you so much for your service. That's really impressive.
Thank you.
And so, what's your plans for Christmas down Estevan way?
Well, I'm just tidying up some last-minute things here for home. Hopefully, I'm not getting too much of this flu that's going around. But
oh, yeah, there's a lot of it.
I got something that I might. I just don't want to wind up having to stay home.
Little more eggnog. A little more eggnog. That'll be the cure.
Yeah, that'll take care of it.
Thanks. Thanks for calling, Rob. Merry Christmas, okay? And take care.
Merry Christmas to you and your listeners. Thank you so much. Come on. Listen to your show all the time.
You're a good man. Thank you so much. Rob, down in Estevan, as we were talking about the NORAD reports. 70th year for the NORAD reports, and referring to the Dew Line, the distant early warning system that was manned, these radar stations across the high Arctic. Now it's all, of course, satellites and automation. And it's the same with tracking Santa Claus. It's all satellites and automation, and they still send up planes, of course. We get to hear those reports, but you can see it all unfolding online nowadays. You can see exactly where Santa is. If you just Google NORAD Santa, you'll find it. Good morning. Brent Laux with you. This is the Evan Bray Show. We're here till noon today. Anything on your mind Christmas-wise? We'd love to hear from you at 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. I'm just pushing some buttons here to make sure I'm in the right spot. 1-877-332-8255. This is Mark replying to some comments that one of our listeners had made regarding the Prime Minister's message to the military. Mark says, regarding the listener who took offense to the PM's address, the government just gave a 20% raise to the junior ranks, the biggest raise in recent history. Not liking the current government is okay, but we should give credit where credit is due. One of my son-in-laws is stationed in Winnipeg, and he's absolutely thrilled with the new money. He got his raise and some back pay as well. Absolutely. Good to have some raises and back pays, especially the way things are in the economy these days. How are you feeling going into the new year? There's a couple of surveys that are out today, which I don't think would be surprising to anyone. About a third of Canadians say they're optimistic about the new year, but most Canadians have a rather dismal view of what lies ahead in 2026. The biggest thing, of course, is the economy. The number one concern on the minds of Canadians, according to these surveys, is the cost of living. 59% of those surveyed say that is the number one issue. That's what's in their mind. That's what's worrying them about the future, the cost of living. Second concern at 41% was the state of health care. And I think we can all point to that and say, yeah, I understand where a lot of people are worried about that. And especially what we're seeing with this crazy flu season that's out there right now, our hospitals getting more and more pressure from people coming to the emergency wards. Gosh, I was looking in Alberta. Their numbers are worse than here in Saskatchewan. The number of people in Alberta getting the flu shot only runs at about 17%. We're just over 20% here in Saskatchewan. Calgary hospitals are just inundated with people these days. So, of course, healthcare is going to be on the minds of a lot of people. The cost of housing comes in third as the issue that is most on the minds of Canadians, especially if you're trying to buy your first home or for people facing increasing rents. Cost of housing is going to be very much an issue. And the overall state of the economy comes in at the fourth major issue in this survey at 23%. How are you feeling about the future? In your situation here in Canada, something of concern to you, something positive you're looking forward to in 2026, 1-877-332-8255. You can text or you can call The Evan Bray Show on CKOM and CJME. Send that out to everybody who's going to be driving home for Christmas, especially today. Looks like roads, for the most part, in pretty good condition. Nothing too nasty in the forecast. Just a little bit cold. So just make sure you got your highway safety kit, whatever that is, and a blanket and the whole routine in your car if you're doing long distance driving. Yeah, we lost Chris Rea this week at the age of 74, and I was reading an article about him and that song, Driving Home for Christmas, and that came out when his career was really taking off. And of course, his big hit was Fool, If You Think It's Over. I know one of my favorites is Road to Hell and Texas, just some of his songs as well. But he was asked once about the song, and he said, you know, I really didn't want the record company to put that Christmas song out. He says, I was too cool. I was the upcoming rock guy, and I was going to be this big star. And what am I doing this mushy Christmas song for? He fought the release of it, but the record company overruled him, and it became his biggest seller. And so he was quite happy that they didn't pay attention to him. Oh, we got a bunch of people that want to talk to us. Good to see you at 1-877-332-8255. Ken, thank you so much for hanging on. You want to talk Christmas movies?
Well, yeah, I thought I'd play a little game of, and thank you, Brent, for being the first caller on Saskatchewan's smartest radio host. And the question today is, what year is the greatest year in Christmas movie films?
Oh, gosh. The greatest year. Well, that you're basing that on what, the movie that came out that year or the number of movies?
Yeah, which year would have the... Like here I am giving you a lot more hints than you give your yes. This year, three incredible classic movies were filmed.
Oh, gosh. I wouldn't even begin to know what the answer to that would be.
Oh, okay, so 1946. Yeah. You had Miracle on 34th Street was filmed. You had It's a Wonderful Life was filmed and actually released that year. Yep. And you had my favorite of the three, which is The Bishop's Wife. and that was in 1946. That's got David Niven, it's got Loretta Young, and it's got Cary Grant in it. And so that movie, it was redone again with Denzel Washington as the preacher's wife, but don't even bother with that 1996 crap.
Yeah.
Watch the original. It will fill you with joy at Christmas. It's just a wonderful movie.
Where do you find these old movies? Is nowadays everything pretty well online?
Yeah, you can find everything online for these old ones. But I have a copy of it. I bought it back when DVDs were still a thing.
Oh, you don't have the VHS then, I guess.
I probably have a copy of that one, too. It's a fantastic movie. Anybody who watches it, like, don't watch the colorized versions and stuff. Find the black and white and watch it the way it was intended for.
Nice. Ken, always a pleasure hearing from you. Merry Christmas, eh?
Merry Christmas.
All right, take care. Jonathan's been patiently hanging on here. Hi, Jonathan, what's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, I'm pointing to let you know, Paul, I'm pointing to talk to you about this whole veterans thing and Mark Carney.
Yeah.
But I'm on the highway right now, and highways are fantastic. I left Saskatoon about an hour and a half ago. I'm in Chamberlain now, and it's clear sailing for everybody right now.
Good to hear on Highway 11 there, south towards Regina from Saskatoon. So about the Prime Minister's message to the military.
Honestly, I heard somebody complain about it, and I didn't take offense to it, but I think it's a good thing what Mark Carney has done. Mm-hmm. For many, many generations, maybe not generations, but for many, a decade and a half, at least two, these guys have been underfunded.
Yep.
They need to be appreciated for what they've done and what they are doing. And we need to start somewhere. And I think with Mark, what Mark Carney has done is starting somewhere. And, you know, I also look at it being Christmas Eve, too. And it's like, you know, for anybody who's unhappy with that, you know, it's Christmas Eve. Come on.
Yep. I'm with you. Thanks, Jonathan. Safe travels and Merry Christmas.
You as well.
All right. Take care. Harold hanging on here in Regina. Merry Christmas, Harold.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to all my friends that listen to the Evan Bray Show. And you're doing pretty good filling in for him. Anyway. As an 89-year-old, we're talking about the hospitals being filled with flu patients and everything. My wife and I have always taken the flu shot.
Yeah.
We weren't that excited about the COVID, but the flu shot, I think, is great. Excuse me. I want to give some advice as an 89-year-old where I hardly ever get the cold or flu. And I dress warmly. I see how our young people dress and others, and they go out without coats and stuff. And another thing is, my dad taught me this years ago. I was born in 1936. That's when the Dead Sea was only sick. It wasn't dead yet when I was born. Anyway, I just want to give a bit of advice. Get something on your head. If I go out without a cap, I may immediately feel some sinus and a headache. So that's my advice to all of the listeners of the Evan Bray Show. And a very Merry Christmas. The newcomers' work is going great. We're excited what's happening among our newcomers.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you, Harold. Thanks for the call and the good advice. Merry Christmas. We got some texts that we'll get to here coming up after the top of the hour as well. Brent Laux filling in the Evan Bray Show. Oh, we've also got Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener for Little Town Apparel coming up too. A chance to scoop an early Christmas present here maybe at 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to CKOM Saskatoon, 980 CJME Regina.